Catechism, and there are copies of the larger catechism on the back table if you need one. 15. Very similar to question in the shorter catechism, is it question 8, I think, on creation. Question is, what is the work of creation? And the answer, the work of creation is that wherein God did in the beginning, by the word of his power, make of nothing the world and all things therein for himself within the space of 6 days, and all be good. On the larger catechism, then, we will begin looking at the details of how God executes his decrees. Remember, last week we looked at the general overview of that, and I showed you that he executes his eternal plan or his decree in the works of creation and providence. The Bible tells us that the Lord works all things according to the counsel of his will. That means that whatever has happened and whatever before the foundation of the world, we can only know what has happened in the past, whatever it is that's happened in the past, that's what God decreed. Or by that he's going to do in the future, that is something that he has decreed in the future, like the second coming of our Lord Jesus. And because it is often the case that, looking back, that we don't know for sure what was done, because we don't have record of many things, and there are things where our records differ. We have maybe several accounts, and they're all different. So our best resource for learning of the past, as well as present and future acts of God, is by looking in the pages of Scripture. Now, of course, the Lord doesn't reveal everything to us in Scripture. We don't know the day of Christ's return. We don't have detailed accounts of many things. We don't have even accounts of all the wars of the world or all the things that God made. But we do not have a list of the names of all the elect. There are many things that we Bible, we have all that we need to know in order that we may serve God acceptably through Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. In other words, but that we can do the will of God, that we can know and believe what we need to believe. It's a tremendous privilege to have His Word that shows us what to believe concerning salvation. And in gratitude to our Lord, it is only right that He has so graciously given us, believe all that is in it. If we do not believe all that He has said, then we call God a liar. Today's topic, the creation of the heavens and the earth, is an important part of God's revelation to us in His Word, and a part that is often not believed as it is revealed by God, even by those who claim to be His disciples. Now, this is grossly inconsistent. The creation account is just as much a part of God's revelation. Sure that the one who rejects this part of God's Word will find it very easy to reject another part of God's Word, even a moral part or something that he believed, when that part rubs him the wrong way. It's very rare to find those who believe in the doctrine of eternal punishment, but who reject the Bible's account of creation. In other words, if they believe even eternal punishment in the account of creation, or those who reject the Bible's teaching about homosexuality, it's hard to find them, and yet hold to a six-day creation as it is revealed in Scripture. It's almost without exception that if someone rejects some moral teaching, like about homosexuality, then they're going to also reject creation. So it's sort of a touchstone, as we'll see later on this evening. I'll say more about that later. But let me move on to our text. This is a text that ought to be believed. just like any other, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that text is Genesis 1:1 through 2:3. God's work of creating the heavens and the earth. The hardest places to find the scripture, because you have all these things, its contents, and talk about it, and you have to flip around for a long time to find. Here is the word of our God. God created the heavens and the earth. Void, and darkness. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be the waters, and let there be and it was so. Let the waters under the heavens be. Waters He called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. The earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb. And it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. And there we'll end. And tonight I want to look at five simple things from this account that we are taught and that we ought to believe in creation. And these are to question 15 of the catechism. First of all, is we're taught here that God made the heavens and the earth. Very simple truth. Opening verse, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. Heaven refers to something that material. It doesn't refer to God because he didn't create himself, but it refers to everything in the whole universe. This is clear as the narrative proceeds. You can see what's included in verse 3. Light is said to be created. So even things like light were the creation of God. This would include energy and such things. In verse 14 through 15, you see the great celestial bodies have been created on earth. What a marvelous thing it was when we consider the billions of stars. And it just says, he also created the stars. And it's pretty marvelous. And in verse 20 through 21, birds and fish created one day. And on the next day, the land animals and man himself are created. Nothing is excluded. And that nothing is excluded. It is brought to us expressly in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, where it says of our Lord Jesus, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Nothing is excluded. The word in Hebrew translated created in Genesis 1:1 is the word bara, and it refers to that word out of Bara, therefore, is used only of God because of the simple reason that we don't create out of nothing. Only God can do that. We always start with something. And because it's the way it is, it's difficult for many modern folk to suppose that it could be different for God because we can only think of making things out of things that we already have. But I want you to stop and think about this. I mean, where did even the space to create all the things in come from? Why was it there? It's because God called it into existence. Where did the laws come from that govern all of the things that are made? And the very ideas of those laws, the very ideas of the things that were made. These things are not self-existing things. No, they're the product, very obviously, of a transcendent God who dwells in a whole different dimension from us. It's a marvelous thing that all you can see around you is even here at all. If you stop and think about it, it's here at all. God tells us that it came from him. He tells us that we have to obtain material. That we're not. This is a thing. All of this came from God. You see in this his power. What a mighty God he is to place the sun and the moon and the stars and the heavens on a single day. To call into being heaven and earth with all of its complexities of life. That we're even now just to see his wisdom and his imagination. I mean, we think that we're smart when we discover DNA and how it functions. He was the one that made it from nothing. It was his idea, according to his decree. We think we're our that there should be such a thing as a rock, such a thing as a tree, such a thing as seeing and hearing. There could have been some other sense that was just as powerful as seeing and hearing and touching that we have no idea. God brought all these out of his wisdom. It's his handiwork. It's his invention. You see his love and goodness in this and all the things that he's made for us. You notice in this creation account that the focus is on these things as they relate to man. Light, so that we can see. Sun and stars given to mark the seasons and to be sources of light. Verse 29 and 30, the Lord gives fruits and vegetables for man to eat. Just think of all the varieties He's given us in that. And all the world for no other purpose than for enjoy, because God, He is no bare utilitarian God. He is a generous, bountiful God who loves to make His creatures smile with giving them delightful. We ought to worship Him and give thanks to Him and trust Him when we consider all the things that He has made. This alone, not even considering our emotion, is a reason for us to worship. But He is our Creator, things to be when they were not. Now that God did this is something that we just know. Even apart from revelation, from special revelation. Romans 1 says, as we saw it earlier in our larger catechism study, that God's eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen through the things that He has made. Now, to any pure soul, it is patently obvious that this material universe is not self-existing, but that it is designed and came from the living God. As humans, we are different from the animals because God has made us in His image. And being His image, He has given us a sense of Himself, a sense of deity. And it is our great privilege as human beings to have this sense of deity. It makes it possible for us to know God through His creation. In fact, it makes it impossible not to know Him through creation, except by suppressing the truth because of the fall. But even so, we are framed to know Him. Despite the fall, we are still framed to know Him and that He is through the things that He has made. To deny that He is the creator of all, we have to suppress this truth that is very obvious to humans. It's a desperate activity that severely taxes even the brightest and best minds. They have to come up with one theory after another, and they have to shuffle their theories about. They have to hang on to theories that should have been discarded long ago for lack of any evidence. When God is denied, man is no longer different than the beasts. Because you see, that's what makes us different, is that we have this ability to know our Creator in a sense of Him through the things that He has made, whereas the beasts don't. But when we deny God, then we are really no different than beasts, and we become like them. The Bible tells us that in Romans 1, where it tells us that we know Him through creation. It says that when we cease to acknowledge Him, when we cease to give thanks to Him, when we cease to worship Him, then God gives us over to be like animals, to degrading passions. It's what we see happening in our society today. Men with men, the Bible says, committing acts of indecency. With all of this suppression of truth going on around us, we should be especially thankful for the creation account that God has given us. Because it enables us not to be deceived when we are Christ's disciples, but to have proof from Scripture of what we know intuitively by nature as human beings, that God made the heaven and the earth. Because we have an account of it in the Word, then we are not vulnerable to be led about by every wind of doctrine that man invents in his desperate effort to suppress the truth. That's the first thing, and that God created all things. Secondly, we are taught in Genesis 1 when God made heaven and earth. I'm going to give you a date. But it says, in the beginning, He made heaven and earth. That's when He did it. Creation is not something that God dragged out over a long period of time. I mentioned this last week. It might have been interesting if he had. You know, you would be driving down the road and suddenly there would be some sort of new tree that no one had ever seen before that God would create, and there it would appear right in front of you, or a new animal that no one had ever seen the likes of before. Or maybe even something that was as different as an animal is from a tree, that was another thing altogether that nobody had ever even imagined. It would make things interesting for sure. But God has chosen to give us a more safe environment, an environment that we can see, and that we We're told in Genesis 2, 1 and 2 that all was complete after 6 days. Verse 1, this is chapter 2, Genesis 2, the heavens and earth were finished, it says. Verse 2, God ended his work. Verse 2 again, God rested from his work, or he ceased from his work. Verse 3, he established the weekly cycle for us to commemorate the work now complete. So it's best to so we see then that the work was all done in the beginning. And it's best to understand that these 24-hour days. The real problem of those who doubt that these were 24-hour days is a problem with the supernatural character of the events. They want to have a naturalistic rather than a theistic basis for their own existence. Really, I can't be that hard on everyone. There are many Reformed theologians, especially in history, who certainly do have a theistic basis and believe that God did create out of nothing, who suggests longer days. But their arguments seem to be solely to accommodate the unbelieving scientists who perhaps they did not believing scientists who are obviously mistaken because they're trying to explain existence without a creator. And you can't explain human existence without a creator. One of the dangers of these other theories is that they suggest that there was death before the fall, and that the world was a place of violence and destruction before there was a curse. At the same time, there are many first-rate scientists who do believe in 6 24-hour days, who have demonstrated how the much better way to explain the fossils and all the supposed geological ages that were formed. The difficulty, though, I want you to understand this, the difficulty of trying to explain everything on naturalistic principles without God's intervention can best be illustrated looking at the creation of Adam, or of an oak tree out of nothing. Now, God didn't create Adam a baby, did he? And he didn't create an acorn, but he created an oak tree. Yet, any scientist who sought to explain where they came from, and who refused to believe that God said that he created the tree and the man last week, would look at the rings on the tree. And he'd say, there's 30 rings on the tree, 30 years of growth. And the man, he can't be a week old. He's walking, he's talking, he's able to reproduce. It's impossible, they would say. He's speak. Now, of course, no scientist is faced with that exact problem, but this illustrates the nature of the problem. I hope you can see the connection. If the scientist refuse to believe that God created the world and all that is in it, then he has to try to come up with some way how all of these animals and all of these things came into being on their own. And he looks at what's happening in the world, and he can't see the process by which that happens. And he has to assume that somehow, by natural process, without intention, that all these things just came into being. And he has no way to do that. No way to account for how did the materials get there in the first place? And how did all the laws get there in the first place? Laws of physics and the laws of science. They're just here. And how did they get here? You see, it's really a fantastical theory to try to devise something to explain our existence apart from believing the Word of God. And a lot of scientists realize how fantastical this theory is. They reject God's Word, and they have no other choice. Reasonable to believe theories. It's reasonable to believe the testimony of God. Now, I'll show you how the Scripture indicates that the world was made in 6 24-hour days. Look at the word there. The word day. It's the Hebrew word yom. Now, has essentially the same range of meaning. That way, the primary meaning of the word when you say something. Period. A secondary meaning is that you refer to day as opposed to night. And another meaning is that you refer to it as a period of time. Like you say, well, back to Abraham. Some have argued that this third usage is the one that is used in Genesis, that the days refer to long periods of time or long ages. This is often said in order to make room for more time so that the naturalistic understanding can be incorporated. But you see, there's no exegetical basis to make these long days. When the word is used of a period or an age, it's always clear that that's the usage. And here there's nothing to indicate that it's used of longer periods, but there are other much that it's used of 24 hours. That first ordinal attached to it. Ordinals, that's like first, second, third. And it says the first day, the second day, the third day. Where is the word used in this way when it refers to long ages? Like you don't say, well, there's the day of Abraham, the day of David, and then say the first day, talking about the day of Abraham. It doesn't work. When you say the first day, second day, third day, you're talking about 24-hour days. Secondly, that each day is said to have a morning and evening. That would indicate 24-hour days. Thirdly, that God built into creation the Sabbath week and calculate time based on the weekly cycle. And that the first week is said to be the week when creation actually took place. And then every week after that is patterned after that. So we assume that the weeks go on as they began, rather than that there was this huge week and then now we have quarter weeks. That it's just a continuous cycle. So those are three reasons why that it's best to say that the word yom refers to 24-hour days. So that's the second thing then that we see from the creation account. That God made all things was the first thing. When He made them is. Thirdly, we're taught on earth. We're told here that He spoke it into existence. Power. Now you can see this illustrated throughout the passage. Again, verse 3, He speaks light into existence. He says, let there be light. There was light. Verse 14, He speaks all the hosts of heaven into existence. All the planets and the stars and the galaxies. Verse 24, He speaks land creatures into existence. Word is his decorative word, the word of His decree, is the word of power by which He calls things that are not and they suddenly appear. If God passes a sentence on someone, He declares for something to happen, and it happens by the power of His word. That's the way He created. The only way we know that God did it this way is by faith. Now, I mentioned before that it is intrinsic to us to know that God made everything, but to know that He did it in existence is not intrinsic to us. That's something that God has revealed to us, and we know by faith. Hebrews 11:3 explains this when it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Framed by the Word of God.
faith. A lot of people have the idea that it's just something to be true. No, I have faith that it's going to turn out all right. I just believe that, even though there's no evidence for it. People say, well, you don't, it's faith. It doesn't have anything to do with evidence. But in Scripture, faith is not that at all. In Scripture, faith comes by God. Faith is believing that something is true because God said it. It's believing the testimony of God that He has given us. God's testimony is the fullest, strongest, most powerful evidence that you can have. Surely you would sooner believe your Creator than a historian or a scientist that can't think outside of his naturalistic presupposition. Believing that God created by the word of His power. In the introduction, and said I would get to it later. As a touchstone, I mean that it's something that you can test people with. You use a touchstone to determine different materials and things. It's something that you can test people with to see if their faith is real or not. Romans 4 shows that Abraham was able to believe that God could give him a... because he believed that God could call into existence what was not. If Abraham call into existence what is not, he would never have believed that his have a child when she was past age. A person who cannot believe that Jesus healed people and gave them perfect and immediate use of their arms or legs that they hadn't used in years, without any chemotherapy, even when they'd been amputated, a person who can't believe that doesn't really believe that God can call what is not as though it were. Doesn't really believe that God can give to dead sinners. He doesn't really believe that people are dead sinners. Because he wouldn't believe anybody could be saved if he doesn't believe that God can give life to dead, that he cannot. See, regeneration is a greater miracle than creation. So if a person has trouble believing that God can call things into existence that are not, he really is going to have a hard time with salvation. God speaks life into us by the word of His power. If you don't believe a God that can, you need faith. As I mentioned before, there is also a good test. This is also a good test because it is almost invariably the case that those who teach the moral teachings of Scripture or doctrinal teachings like the doctrine of hell that they don't like will also be those who reject what the Bible says about creation and that God created all things, spoke them into existence. The word we've seen that God created, we've seen when God created, and now fourthly, in what condition God made the heaven and earth. The Lord makes a point of telling us this. After each successive stage of creation, He tells us that it was good. The end of every day. You can see that comment at the end of each day's work. He looks at what He's done. He assesses it. And then He declares that it is good. Then, after man was made, He tells us that it was very good. And this is based upon His divine judgment. He was pleased with what He had made. And of course, God knew what He had made and didn't really to inspect it for His own sake. But He declares it for our sake. He tells us what He thinks of creation for our benefit. This has a number of important theological implications for us. First, this teaches us that God is a God who inspects His creation. He is the judge of it and has an opinion concerning it. He reveals this from the beginning, that He is concerned about attached or indifferent, but He is a God who is watching, who is evaluating, who is judging. Now that we're fallen, it affects many people that God judged say that we're very good, does he? He says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it is his right to do this because it is his creation. He did it from the very beginning, and he declares what he thinks of it. We must all answer to him for what we are and for what we do. Second, it teaches us that God only creates what is. You must not even race ways corrupt. His hand. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7:29, truly this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. God is not the author of sin, but sin is our doing. It is our corrupting of his good, very good creation. That's why this is so great. Because we come and mangled what God has made. It was very good. Thirdly, even inclusive of the fact that we fell, standpoint, we see here that it was. See, even sin itself has its purpose. God will gain glory to himself through it. When he pronounced man as very good, man had not fallen, but he was subject to falling. God knew that he was subject to fall. He knew that he would fall. Still, God saw this as very good. Man in that state where he was subject to fall, because God had purposed that man would fall. That was part of his plan. Okay, so we've seen. Let me see if I can recount them. I don't have them all written in front of me. When God made all things, or that he made all things, when he made all things, how he made all things, and in what condition he made all things, something like that. Maybe you have them in your notes. Fifthly, we are taught why God made heaven and earth. Way we have seen that it was very much for man that he made heaven and earth. The things made are presented from man's perspective. Light for him to see, the sun and the moon, I told you, for measuring time, the plants for food. Man is given dominion over all of creation, told to subdue the earth. He's to put it to use for himself. God planted a garden for Adam and Eve to begin in. And the idea, you would suppose, would be that Adam and Eve, as they multiplied and had more children, would go out and make more gardens. It would bring the earth into subjection for their own purpose. So this was the idea, that the world was created with man as the guardian and the head over the things that he. But the whole creation is at last not for man, but for God. There's three things that would end. That it had to be for him because there was no one around to tell him what to do when he created heaven and earth. Obviously, if you do something when there's no one else around to do it for yourself. Of course, God's self is three persons. So we may say that he created for each other, but it may also be the case that he had in mind doing much for his creatures about to create, created it for them, as I just spoke about. But he is the one that was forming those creatures with things that they would like and things that they would not like, laying at the foundation of his plan to make happy creatures or blessed creatures with the many things that he has done for them. There remains the fact that he did it all for himself. You see, that's sort of complicated, but that's at the foundation of it all, that it had to be for God, even that he would make us with things that we delight in. That was for him that he did that. This is very simple and very obvious truth, but it's very difficult for us in our pride to accept God. We feel that somehow we should have been consulted about the way that things were to be done. But there was nothing to consult, you see, until we were created. And once we were created, we were what we were by God's design. It's so hard for us to accept it because we don't like being creatures. But there's no other option for us. The potter has a right to make what he wishes. is with the clay. The only basis we have for rendering a judgment about it is this sense of justice that God Himself gives to us. We don't have any other argument. We don't have anything else to rely on. Well, second, that God all things showing brought out in what we mean. God, He declares the creation to be good or not good. This judgment is the way that He reveals Himself to His rational creatures, showing that He hates sin, that He loves righteousness. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 and 10, we are told that when the Lord comes to judge at the last day, He will be to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe. In no way is God's character more strong. Not about anyone and what displeases them. And God reveals that in the judgment of the things that He has made. So we can conclude from that then that God delights in showing Himself through His creation, that He made it for Himself to reveal His glory. Even again among the persons of the Trinity, as they behold the glorious judgment, the Father, the Son beholds the judgment of the Father, and the Father beholds the judgment of the Son upon the creatures in acting of that judgment and bringing it to pass. So it was something that, in a sense, God had not done apart from His creation. Third, created all things for Himself is brought out in Genesis 2:3, where the Sabbath is instituted. The Sabbath is sanctified, made holy for man. Holy means that it was set apart for man, set apart for God. It's a day. And the main thing that He was to be praised for was for what? For the creation. What He had just made. That's why the Sabbath was originally instituted. That in 6 days He made heaven and earth. Man was given then to celebrate that creation, to honor God for that creation. How are we to do this? Remember, by remembering the glorious way in which He did it. By praising Him with thanksgiving and offering ourselves to serve Him with joyfulness. See, He made us and all for Himself to bring glory to Himself, and He set a day by which in which we are to glorify Him for this very work of creation. And we find our place only in submission to Him as His creatures, giving honor to Him. It is all for Him that the world was made, and we are to be for Him. And unless we are consciously giving ourselves for Him, then we are against Him and His whole purpose in making the world. Let's call upon our God and ask Him to Heavenly Father, we come before You now and we praise You that You are the maker of heaven and earth. That You called what to be that was not. You called to be all things when they were not. That You are the one who devised all of these things. And we pray, O Lord, that we would give honor and praise to You, our Maker. For we realize that this world is not of a nature of a self-existing thing at all, but that You alone are self-existing. You are different, Lord, something different than this world, very different. And we praise You and we honor You as Your creatures. Faith to believe what Your Word says about this, that we would not waver in unbelief, that we would not allow the naturalistic scientists to affect the way we look at I deny the testimony that you made all things and to have to be shut up to trying to figure out origins apart from a creator. Father, we know that their efforts are futile and that they can only come up with the most ridiculous theories as they endeavor to do this. We pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be duped by these things, but that we would stand firm in our confidence and in our faith. Father, we also thank you that for your goodness that is seen in creation, for the tremendous variety of things that you have provided for us, and the wonderful foods that we have, and the beautiful scenes that we're able to see, and all the stars and such that you have created, and things for us to discover, marvelous ways that you have made us to reproduce and to make those that are like ourselves and yet different than ourselves. Lord, it is just a marvelous thing, and we praise you for it. And we pray that you would help us, therefore, to be completely devoted to you, our Maker. For we owe all that we are and all that we have to you. You are the source of all things. We praise you, O Lord. Bless us now, Lord, as we seek to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's join together in singing 104A.